Hey, this is Super Bowl champion Troy Brown.
Three-time Super Bowl champion.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we welcome to the desk.
Troy Brown.
You like it, right?
Patriots Hall of Famer Troy Brown in studio for the 7 o'clock hour. Following every Patriots game, he's brought to you by DN Van Lines. DN Van Lines, reliable, professional, and can handle any size moving or storage need. 1-800-51-MOVER for DN Van Lines. Jesus. Now, Troy Brown is sometimes in here, and we're talking about minutia and boring stuff because the game was very vanilla. And yesterday, I know the Patriots lost, that last play was cool.
Can we just start off with something with Troy? Because before, we need to set the table as far as if you ever doubt that Troy is emotionally invested in these games. So yesterday, there was a video that came out after the game was done, and it was the video feed from NBC Sports Boston. It's the desk. You watch the post game. Yesterday, yeah, it was Tommy Curran on your left, Rob Ninkovich, Troy Brown, Michael Holly. And this is the audio of all of them watching that final play. Just notice how in the first 20 seconds, you do not hear Troy Brown, but oh, when you hear him, you hear him.
Oh, they tried to hook a lateral.
Oh, oh.
Are they at the 10?
Holy
Oh, my God.
Did he just score?
Gronk better run
He's
him
about
out.
To score.
Oh, no way.
Oh, no.
You got to be kidding me.
What?
Wow!
That is our own Troy Brown.
I've never heard myself cheering before on audio like that, man. That was crazy.
People accusing you of turning your back on your Patriots due to your excitement.
I just heard that last caller. He's calling for his. Jason McCourty did he cut?
Jason McCourty. Well, it was all Jason McCourty's fault.
Check and Kraft to sell the team now. And
the whole thing was on Jason McCourty.
I ask you this after losses, but I gotta ask after this one, just the way it ended, what is today like at Gillette?
Quiet. I got a feeling that when they get in there, if they're not in there now and start going over the tape, I mean, there'll be a ton of plays in there to go through, and then that last they're gonna watch that over and over and over and over. That's gonna be on the teaching tape for years to come, depending on who's the head coach, for years to come for that football team, man. That's just a play that never should have happened. You know, it's a lot of people you can blame on that particular play.
Well, let's go through them, shall we?
Yeah, because here's the deal. Is that video is the two most egregious things that happened in that game were either Brady's fault or Belichick's fault. I mean,
I had to call there's a lot of blame to go around. Gilmore dropping the interception.
Right. But boneheaded, Gilmore, that's going to happen in a game.
Gaskowski's going to miss a field goal.
Decision-making stuff.
Yes.
Normally see the Patriots do. You see other teams that
practice
the Patriots.
Right.
Make dumb mistakes like that.
Yeah.
So there were a ton of them in the game, in my opinion, that just they could have been a whole lot better on. we're just not used to seeing the Patriots and Belichick and Tom Brady, especially those two, make the kind of decisions they made in those situations, man. So it bit him in the butt the last 7 seconds of the game. So, putting Gronk back there.
Okay, I know why Gronkowski's usually there.
Yeah,
and it's because he's big and he can bat the ball.
Yeah. It's a Hail Mary.
A Hail Mary.
Right. Right.
And I've been that guy before to get back there and bat the ball down and box somebody out or whatever it is.
Right.
And thing is, I think I was a little bit better tackler than Gronk.
I
played a bunch of special teams, so I went through tackling drills and stuff too.
Yeah, they made you play defense.
Yeah.
And things.
Before then, I was on special teams and stuff, so I had a little bit of tackling drills in me and stuff.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
But and it's about angles
and using
your help too. And that was a pretty bad looking play. But he shouldn't have been in there in that particular situation,
right?
Because it was so far to go.
Yeah.
And the other thing that was more baffling than that was that the fastest guy probably on the field that day was on the bench.
Right.
Yeah, why take McCourty out?
You should have taken, I know hindsight's 20/20, but you should have taken out Van Noy.
Sure.
There was a lot of talk about that.
Who struggled to catch a guy that started running sideways down the sideline and he dived and missed it, so just... So there's plenty of blame to go around on that particular play. And then, you know, you got guys that are worried about guys on the backside, you know, the throwback to the other side that didn't want to pursue the ball carrier too fast. And nobody really coming up aggressively to take a shot at the guy. And
you rushed four,
I mean, you rushed four, and then you had Van Noy hanging around up there, you know. So I just didn't it was just not the proper play to have Gronkowski on the field. And obviously everything got the play ended up getting to Gronk, and he was in a bad position against the running back that's, you know, faster than he was. And
I'm still contending.
He looks like a 4-4 guy.
So. I understand, but you have 70 yards.
To get up there. I mean, they basically touched Kenyon Drake, what, twice?
Yeah.
Once. He got touched once by Van Noy.
Was it
He didn't get touched again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was the initial catch, I think, was – I forgot who caught the ball initially, but I think Jonathan Jones was touched him. Then he pitched the ball really quick to somebody else, and then that guy pitched it to Drake.
He got touched once. How often do you practice that?
Every week. Every week, you know, you practice against some kind of Hail Mary type play.
Okay.
So you at some point, all the situations that be in there through all the different things you do through the course of the season. So you have them in there, and you basically just, you got the guys on the backside that's got to, you know, cover the one or two guys who were back there, which I don't think anybody was back there at that particular point. And, you know, you got to be assigned to certain people in certain places on the field, and somebody's got to come up and make a tackle.
Yeah.
You know, and it just didn't seem like they were being aggressive enough. J.C. Jackson, you know, he was in that mentality like, oh, they got him. And he slowed down and he tried to pick it back up again and it was too late. So, and then I think the biggest thing, bigger than Gronk, I think the biggest that McCourty was on the bench.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's your safety. He's just called a safety for a reason, you know, and he wasn't on the field. And he probably would have been the fastest guy out there. I think he's had the highest clock the fastest time this year.
He's the fastest on the
touchdown,
team. Yeah,
it's a touchdown play.
And on top of that, too, there's so many things about that those final few seconds. Mm-hmm. Why not boot it into the end zone too?
I mean, that was a possibility too, and you know, have them start at the 25 and have a ways to go. But that still being said, they returned the kick. They didn't return it like to the 40 or 50 yard line.
Right, it's 30 yards.
And it took
another 10 seconds off the clock, and they were left with, 7 seconds?
No, that worked out for the Patriots.
It worked out.
Yeah.
It was just poor execution and a poor choice of personnel to have on the field for that particular situation. So, yeah, that one bit him in the ass on that.
let's just look at the – okay, because obviously that final play, everyone's going to be looking at that. But the defense as a whole – I mean, just going from last week to this one.
Major step backwards.
Major
step backwards.
Enormous plays.
And so you're talking about the amount of plays. I mean, I was trying to tell these guys that, like, Miami basically had the ball for less than 25 minutes in that game. And 45 plays against 75 plays to the Patriots. So, and they put up 5 touchdowns. I mean, 35 points. No field goals. So they scored twice from the red zone. And just the chunk plays, they had those 5 drives were 6 plays or less, and they were no less than 68 yards long. So a couple of those were 2 plays.
Yeah.
2 play drives. And the 75-year-old Frank Gore averaged 9 yards a carry. You know, just Brandon Bolden, who had 1 carry all year, which was last week, you know, had – what, a 60-yard – was 58-yard touchdown, whatever it was, 58-yard touchdown, smoked – Daron Harmon. So you talk about angles and guys that catch. Now Daron is a safety,
right?
And he looked the same way that Gronk looked, you know, trying to catch Bolden. So you can't really be too mad at Gronk, you know, in that particular.
Even blame Gronk. Gronk shouldn't have even been on the field.
No, he shouldn't have been on the field. Yeah, but still, there's 70 yards to get it together.
Sure.
Exactly. Yeah, to push someone out of bounds. But yes, there's
just a ton of chunk plays that they gave up defensively, and I thought they had that part of it corrected.
Yeah.
So they were bend but don't break defense, but they broke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, I was at someone's house and they said, Brent Bolden just scored. And I went, oh, no, he's still on the Patriots.
They only wished yesterday that he was on the Patriots.
I'm like, who the hell has Brent Bolden?
No doubt, man. I mean, that's just an insane number. It's like 9.2 yards per play. Yeah. Just craziness like that, man. And to have the ball less than 25 minutes and to come away with the win, man, I mean, they should be partying in Miami the rest of the year. You know? So they kept their playoff hopes alive.
Yep.
You know, so they should be partying, man, having a good time. So,
well, Drake was just filled with sweat and very emotional at the end of the game. He was the sweatiest human being I've ever seen.
I would be too. I would be too, man. I don't blame any of those players for freaking
out. I don't know what.
Everyone's like, oh, they won the Super Bowl. No, that was like one of the best plays.
But he was just engulfed in sweat enough that I was like, what's going on with this guy? All right, we'll be back with more of Troy Brown, 617-779-0985.
And Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
No timeouts for either team. With Gordon to the right, joined by Gronkowski, who motions in that direction. Two receivers left, White in the back of the screen. He takes the snap. Stands in under pressure. He's hit, and down he goes. Brady is sacked and back at the 10-yard line, and the Patriots cannot clock it with the clock counting down and time expiring on the opening half.
Are you kidding me?
The Patriots.
Are you kidding me?
Indeed allowed the sack.
He's got to throw that away.
Tom Brady with an uncharacteristic mistake after he missed Hogan.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Troy Brown in studio, 617-779-0985. Brady, that's the end of the first half. He believed they have had another timeout. They did not. He took a sack. That was the end of the half. Troy, you watch a lot of Patriots. You've obviously have a lot of experience on the team. Have you seen Brady do things like that, like before?
Not like that. Not the thinking he had a timeout thing, because that's something that's usually talked about right before that play. You know, they tell me, you know, remember you have no timeouts, you know, or whatever, and everybody on the team knows it, you know, and.
Do they say that in his headset too, just to remind him?
His headset, and everybody's on the same page. We don't have any timeouts or whatever, you know. And that situation is basically just get rid of it if it's not there, you know.
Oh, sure.
We'll take the 3 points,
right? Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, even the series before that was just weird. I mean, and remember the Gronk touchdown pass where they had to come get him off the field.
Yeah, what do you think happened there?
I have no idea. You know,
was he hurt?
They did a great job of showing the replay of all that. So, but
I know.
They showed a replay of him standing there and looking at the play.
Except for they didn't.
Yeah, he just kind of jumped up once or twice. And,
yeah.
And next thing you know, they cut back to him sitting on the ground and the trainer's coming to get him. So that whole situation was weird. And then after that, they got a 3-and-out against Miami, and they forced a punt. And they don't call timeout. You know, they had 2 minutes and 15 seconds to go, and they don't call timeout. And I'm like, when have you ever known the Patriots to not preserve those seconds to get the ball back and go down and have a chance to put the ball in the end zone? Miami's getting the ball back after the halftime.
Yeah.
You got a chance to score there before the half. And then they don't call timeout. They're going to maybe think 2 minutes is enough time for Brady and offense to go down. They've been moving the ball well. Well, they're not aggressive. They come out pretty conservative, and they go 3-and-out and kick it back.
Yeah.
And not only until they get the block punt, then they come out and try to score, get the ball down to the 2-yard line, and then kind of, you know, threw away the drive there, taking a sack on third down. Well, first of all, second down, he missed Hogan in the back of the end zone.
Right. Yeah, wide open.
Which he was on point to start the game out, like 10 of 10. And
he looked great.
He was sharp. And then to miss that throw, so I'm thinking like, nah, maybe he got hurt. Maybe his arm or shoulder or something's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they came out conservative the drive before, and then he comes down and he misses Hogan in the back of the end zone and then takes a sack, you know, on third down with no timeouts. So it was just a bizarre few sets of downs there, man, that I thought was just very unpatriot-like. Mm-hmm. Things that you normally don't see them do or try to take advantage of.
And what stinks is it blew Rob Gronkowski's coming out party, because yesterday was an excellent game for him, and he looked like old Gronk once again.
I think yesterday they had them all going. They had Josh Gordon going. They had Edelman going.
Edelman looked great.
I mean, they were fantastic on third down, picking up, you know, making big plays on third down. So you had those three guys look like they were playoff ready. And then you blow the game at the end. So it's just, not at the end, but there was a lot of things that happened in there. I just went through a few of them, and then, you know, some of the decisions they have Gronk in there at the end. Just dropped interception by Gilmore,
Gostkowski, I mean, you can't gloss over that. I mean,
Gostkowski missing that. Some of these teams just kind of let the Patriots off the hook a little bit, like the Steelers, you know, not having that pressure on them. But, you know, I think the Chargers have put themselves in a position to be, you know, like you said, that number two team in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that being said, they got to go to Pittsburgh next week, which I think is going to be a tough place to play because, they're backed up against the wall now.
Yeah.
So, and they're really fighting for their life in the division. You know, Baltimore's right. breathing down their neck. So, it's going to be tough for them to go in there and win. And I thought that after they won this game yesterday that they were clearly going to be the team. You know, everything was shaping up for them. To, you know, watching that Kansas City game and watching them struggle to win. And
pick up two fourth downs.
That they were going to be primed to have that number one spot sitting right there and probably with the weakest schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the Kansas City and the Chargers and Pittsburgh stumbling the way they did, I thought they were lining themselves up to be the number one seed in the AFC. And all that changed just like in a matter of a total of less than a minute, I think, between all those games yesterday. So it just all changed, man. And so now, like you said, they're looking at possibly, you know, if they don't win on Sunday against Pittsburgh, they're possibly looking at playing on the first round of the playoffs. So.
Plus,
and they put themselves in a bad situation by losing.
You got to face Sammy D in the last game of the season.
Woo-wee!
Yeah.
Yesterday, baby. Coming out party for Sammy D. Josh, one of the great plays of the season. Josh, go ahead.
Yeah, I got a good question. I thought about it yesterday, and Troy can actually maybe answer it. That last drive, why wouldn't we just make it a four-down possession and try to go for the touchdown? Because even with the field goal, we got to give him a chance to, God forbid, run the ball back, or you saw the little flea flicker to things yesterday. Why didn't we just go for the end zone? Worst case scenario, we give them 98 yards to try to do that.
Is that the exact same question we just got?
You still have the flea flicker available to you.
Right.
You know, whether it came from the 30 or the 15, it's still not the hook and lateral.
Yeah.
It's still available to you. I mean,
plus, and if you
whether you're up by two or you're up by five.
Right, and just have to get to the 40-yard line.
Yeah. So I got no problem with that.
And it's not, you know, who would have thought that 11 guys couldn't have tackled one guy, two guys, or three guys?
Yeah.
I find it odd
within 70 yards.
The proper response to having lost a game by a touchdown is to have fewer points on the board when that happens.
Right.
Like, we lost by 1 point when we're up by five. What would have been better is if we had only been up by two.
Well, you gave him the luxury of 9 seconds or whatever the hell it was to get that last playoff.
Yeah.
If it only was 4 seconds, then it would have been.
They don't want to accept the fact that, hey, the hook and ladder was always available no matter where you're at on the field, you know?
You need only one second for that to happen. Yeah. That's all you got to have.
Maybe it wouldn't have worked as good from the 20 as it did from the 30. So,
yeah.
That's what was going on there.
Is the field always awful there, by the way, in Miami?
The field is all, well, back in my day, I'm so old. I played when, you know, when when September, October, that was baseball field. Which was crappy.
Yeah,
it felt like falling on a ton of bricks. You couldn't make any cuts on it as a football, as a skill player. It's like a defensive lineman, I gotta assume, couldn't get any push or whatever against the offensive line. So it was just a bad field in that sense. But that crap you saw yesterday, holy smokes!
The divot
and Oakland.
Oh, that was awful.
Well, Oakland was insane.
Like, it's the NFL.
Yeah,
I know.
It's the NFL, and the guys come out in Miami and they don't even have a tamper to tamp it down, like pack it down real tight and, you know, and making sure it doesn't come up again or whatever. Try to. They go out there and they're packing it down with their hands. Like, they're filling in one of those Florida sinkholes with, like, just making mud pies out of it.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
You guys will be fine. You know, just don't worry about player safety right now. You know, just don't fall on the quarterback, you know, so.
And in Brady's head, he's sitting there because there was that one play where he had the divot right in front of him. And he's thinking, how do I avoid
that
this?
That was a sinkhole, dude. Holy crap, man. I'm like, you send professional players out there, their livelihood, to go play on something like that. Absolutely nuts.
There's guys in a Welker. Advanced degrees in agriculture that go out and they can't get it together. That field in Oakland, oh my God.
Yeah.
How does that even happen? Isn't it supposed to be all dry up there right now? I mean,
well, that's the baseball field you're talking about. Are they the only team left that does it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so, anyway.
Yeah. All right, so we'll have more with Troy Brown, 617-779-0985. Here are the headlines. 98.5,
the Sports Hub. Hey, this is Super Bowl champion Troy Brown.
Touchdown! Three-time Super Bowl champion.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we welcome to the desk.
Troy Brown.
You like it, right?
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Troy Brown, brought to you by DN Van Lines. DN Van Lines, reliable, professional, and can handle any size moving or storage need. 1-800-51-MOVER for DN Van Lines.
I want to quickly correct something because I have a case of the mush mouth. I was saying that the Patriots don't even have... What I meant to say was that the Patriots don't even have the second best chance of getting the number one seed. That would be the Chargers. So if the Chargers end up knocking off the Chiefs, they would have the one seed. So if you're looking, if your hopes were that the Patriots were going to get that home field advantage throughout the playoffs, they're in a tough spot. Because you've got the Chargers and the Chiefs playing each other this Thursday,
and you kind of got to root for the Chiefs, and then hope the Chiefs
lose out,
choke down down the line, you know, because they have the Chargers this Thursday, then they have the Seahawks and the Raiders to close the season out. So you hoping to lose against the Seahawks and the Raiders to close the season, because then the Patriots will win the tiebreaker, on the head to head versus Kansas City. So if not, you know, if it goes the other way with the Chargers, there's no way they can catch the Chargers.
Right, because then it goes to the second tiebreaker, which would be the conference games. And the Chargers right now are 7-2 and the Patriots are 6-3. So this is not looking good at all.
No.
Either way you slice it, for them to have home field advantage throughout. I mean, yesterday was an important game, and they ended up blowing it. They ended up blowing it pretty
it was very, very important. So, you know, and I guess the only hope they would have on the Chargers would be that, you know, them finishing the season out with the Ravens and the Broncos. So, you know, at the Broncos. So there's a slight chance in there.
Yeah,
you
know,
I don't want to play Kansas City if I'm the Patriots. Yeah. I don't want to play Kansas City in Arrowhead. First of all, that's an impossible place to play.
Would you want to play the Chargers in a soccer stadium?
Yes. I would rather play the Chargers in a soccer stadium.
Any day.
The way Kansas City won that game yesterday was insane. I mean, they pick up two first downs out of fourth downs.
Also, on top of that, Mahomes with the no-look passes.
Goal.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, that was pretty ridiculous. What he was doing yesterday.
Won't even
I think
look
he was showboating yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
It was in a comeback win.
Yeah, he was showboating. I mean, it wasn't one of the top passes of the day.
Well, if his defense shows up, then they got a chance.
Yeah.
Well, that's an if.
It's a big if.
Yeah.
Eric Berry comes back, I think, this week, I believe.
Oh, does he?
So, he comes back. He plays Thursday, I think.
Did you ever hear about Eric Berry and his weird phobia of horses?
No.
Okay, so this is kind of a problem because, as you know, the mascot for the Chiefs is a guy who comes out in a horse isn't he like a Native American? Isn't he? Like, I mean, it's like an Indian chief, right? Okay, so he comes out there, and there was a mic'd up segment where Eric Berry, like every time the horse came out, was like, "I don't want none of that horse. Here comes that horse," and he kind of flipped out. I guess he had to go to therapy.
He's got something like equine phobia.
Equinophobia.
Like, equinophobia.
Yeah.
Do you have the audio of him?
I do, but I mean, it's like almost to the point where I kind of feel bad for the guy because if you're the Chiefs, just stop bringing the guy out there.
No,
oh, yeah.
The horse is much greater than one player.
This is Eric Berry right here.
Oh, hell no. They go that horse. I'll f*** with that horse. Huh? The horse. Yeah, I'll wait till they got to the horse pad. I don't mess with horses, bro. Straight up. Might come over here and throw a tantrum.
Stay inside the box. Stay inside the box.
Hold up. Call that horse out there. The horse. She need to go ahead with that horse right now. I don't fool with no horses, boy. Hey, go ahead and drive that belt away.
You don't like the horse?
Hell no. I ain't worried about the chick. I'm worried about the horse.
Eric Berry has equinophobia.
That's
the fear of horses.
That's right, the fear of horses. So maybe you make some changes.
Yeah, big, strong Eric Berry is afraid of
a horse.
Nice horse.
That's right.
I have seen videos of horses biting people and kicking people, though.
Sure.
It's not pretty.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so this is a league-wide phenomenon. Berry against the horse. Yes, you can see those videos readily available. So, all right, so you say it's going to be quiet over there at Gillette today. Since the big mental screw-ups were from Brady and Belichick, does that change anything? Like, will Belichick own up to the fact that he screwed that up at the end of the game?
He probably will. I don't know if he'll do it with the media, but he would.
He'll probably do it in the meetings.
Like, I screwed this up. And
has he done that with you guys? He's done it before. This was my fault.
He's done it a lot. Even if it was something he had us in the right position to do, and we just couldn't execute it.
He'd take the blame.
He would be, we got to coach better and. Put you guys in the better situation or whatever and call some better dude. Just stuff like that. So, But he'll probably take the blame for it. Like, we got to tweak with the roster. The grouping a little bit better or that type of stuff. So, you can't be the head coach and not take the blame for stuff and then and then point the finger and have your low lights on Monday if everybody else screwing up and then you don't take the blame for anything. So, he's good about that. So,
all right, take me into Toby Keith's last night. You guys, we played the clip of, you guys reacting in real time. And behind you is the bar and it's, got a ton of people watching it. What was the mood like inside the bar when you guys turned around?
Well, everybody was pretty happy, man, and chipper, and it was like we were sitting there getting ready for the show. That's the only reason why I was behind those big screens is that usually they would have been up with 7 seconds to go, and the Patriots winning the game like that because they just turned around and watched it at the bar. But, people were like cheering and getting ready to, celebrate and have a few drinks, I guess. And next thing you know, man, I look back and I see these people and these ladies and they're just like mouths open and like, oh my God, what just happened? And it was just, it started going crazy in that place, man, just like in disbelief.
Yeah.
So just an unreal play. I mean, I played football all my life for the most part, and I've never been on either end of a play like that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Will that affect them? Can that affect you?
I hope not. It can. Yeah, it can, man. I mean, that was a huge and a deflating way to lose a football game that you thought you basically had won if you just had made the tackle, on that particular play. So hopefully, Bill, they're good motivators and they're good about getting guys to put things behind them and letting it go. And, I'm on the Cincinnati type stuff and I'm on the Pittsburgh now.
Yeah.
And putting those kind of things behind them and straightening things out. Listening to Gronk talk last night, he was like, it never happened to him either before. And, and Tom saying it's just football, and those kind of things happen. Like, no, that's not that.
No.
That doesn't happen to a team I've ever been on. But, hopefully they can get by it.
What happened to the run game yesterday? Because all we heard all week going into this game was
horrible.
Horrible. Like third worst in the NFL or something like
30th.
That.
They were ranked 30th against the run. They've been giving up like 140 or 50 yards a game in the run game.
And then Sony Michel and James White was missing, but Sony Michel couldn't do anything.
Yeah, it was the Burkhead show back up, and I didn't realize Sony had 20 carries. That's how quiet it was. I mean, it was
20 carries for 20 yards.
basically. Yeah. So they averaged like under 3 yards a carry, 2.4 yards a carry. So, I mean, and I'm pretty sure Miami had when they looked at their self-scouting, tapes and stuff, that, we give up a ton of yards against the ground, and the Patriots the last few weeks have been trying to run the football.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to let them play that way against us. So, and I think they made an effort to stop the run, and, you see Tom had a big day. it was over 300 yards
he
passing.
He looked great, except for that.
Three touchdowns in the first half.
Yep.
So I think they made a conscious effort to just stop the run against the Patriots, and they did that. But I thought it still could have been a lot better than that against that defense. So they hadn't stopped anybody all year.
Two desperate teams next week.
Two desperate teams.
Mm-hmm.
So Pittsburgh's more desperate than the Patriots.
Yeah, because
and they aren't out of the woods yet, because they got, Miami's still in the hunt now. So to win the division.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would say the Patriots aren't really desperate, but it's kind of a must-win game for them to go ahead and close this thing out. But Pittsburgh right now, with Baltimore breathing down their neck, and even the Browns got a chance. So in that division, so they're going to have the work cut out for them. A team that just lost three games in a row with all the talent they have offensively,
mm-hmm.
and the trouble that the Patriots had stopping the Miami Dolphins offense this past week. I mean, it could be a whole lot worse than that next week when they go into Pittsburgh.
What's the deal with Connor? Is he supposed to be back?
Yeah, that's a big one right there. Now, if he's not able to go.
Yeah, because they couldn't run the ball yesterday at all. All right, so we'll finish.
Against the Oakland Raiders.
I know. Well, Gruden was very, very happy.
Can we hear a happy John Gruden later on? Because it's been so long since we've heard a very happy John Gruden.
Yeah, he was dancing around.
Good.
Who's happy is Amari Cooper.
Oh,
He looks great now. I thought his career was over.
Well, everyone thought that was going to be like the worst deal ever, and the moment he shows up with the Cowboys, it completely turns him around.
Like, now you see why Randy Moss, when he was out there, said, "I play when I get ready or whatever."
That's right. He's pulling a Randy Moss.
It's a bad place to play football.
All right, we'll be back with more Troy Brown.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Oh, they tried to hook a lateral.
Oh,
Are they at the 10?
Holy
Oh, my God.
Did he just score?
Gronk better run
He's about
out.
To score.
No way.
Oh,
no.
Holy.
You got to be kidding me.
What?
Wow.
985, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. That is Troy Brown and the crew from NBC Sports Boston reacting to the final play yesterday. And there was a guy very hard on Troy Brown saying that every time the Patriots lose, he's ecstatic.
I think he thought they were going, yes! And like high-fiving Ninkovich.
High-fiving, yeah, way to go, man.
No, that was just being astounded.
No doubt, man. That's
so, yeah.
I don't know, man. That was just an amazing play.
Well, something you'll certainly remember. All right, David, I don't understand what's going on. David, go ahead.
Yeah, listen, Rich was saying that the Chargers could become the number two seed.
No, the Chargers could become the number one seed.
Number one.
All right, and who's the number two seed?
That would be the Patriots. They could stay the Patriots.
Yeah, but you said the Chargers could become the number two seed. Ahead of the Patriots. I'm trying to figure out who would be the number one.
Yeah, we talked about that. We mush-mouthed it. But, yeah, no, if the Chargers end up beating the Chiefs or end up having a better record than them, and they play each other this Thursday, then they very well likely could be the one seed. And the Chiefs could end up being in a wild card position.
Yeah.
So if the Patriots have their mindset on, you know, getting home field advantage throughout the playoffs, the road just got a lot tougher with that loss yesterday. Because you got another team that has a better chance than you do that's not the Chiefs at getting that one seed. And that would be the Chargers.
Right.
Yeah. And you don't have that head-to-head game with the Chargers.
Nope.
You do have it with the Chiefs. So that's, you know. So you kind of want to root for the Chiefs this Thursday night?
I want to root for the Chargers no matter what. Because I don't think the Patriots are going to get the one seed. And I would much rather play them in L.A. than I would in a soccer stadium, as you said, than play the Chiefs at Arrowhead.
I don't know about that one, man.
Really?
That defense is better. San Diego's defense is better than Kansas City.
However, you've played an Arrowhead before.
I played an Arrowhead before.
It's ridiculously loud, isn't it?
It's ridiculously loud.
Is it the toughest place to play?
But the farther west that the Patriots travel, the lower their winning percentage has been over the years.
Oh.
So
even with the Chargers?
Even with the Chargers.
A team that notoriously crafts themselves if they get to the postseason.
Yeah. Yep. Gerard Mayo went over yesterday, man. It's the lower winning percentages against NFC West teams, AFC West teams. That's their lowest winning percentage against all those conferences.
So you'd rather...
Because we were disputing, I think it was Shaughnessy's tomato can theory about the AFC East. So, so we took him on that one. And, they've dominated every division except for the West teams.
So you'd rather play in Arrowhead than play the Chargers?
Yeah, and the Chargers, I think Anthony Lynn's a pretty darn good coach, man. He's got that Parcells mentality, mm-hmm. Parcells background. So I think he's going to have his team making good decisions, and they got a ton of talent offensively and defensively out there. So, yeah.
All right, Shaughnessy said, speaking of Shaughnessy, he wrote that this is probably the worst loss in the history of regular season Boston sports.
Say it again now?
He says that this is probably... He makes the argument that the game yesterday was the worst loss in the history of Boston sports.
Regular season.
Regular season? Yeah. No, regular season.
I mean, the grossest loss.
We would beat 31-0 by Buffalo one year.
But I guess the ramifications of it and the idea of how it ended.
How it happened.
Yeah.
And lost opportunity for all those other teams that lost in the conference.
Right. That everything, because you could look at it positively or negatively. Right. Because everything happened in the conference and you could have kind of nailed things shut there. And now you weren't given that opportunity.
I mean, I don't know. I can't disagree with him on that one because I can't think of anything that was, you
sure.
know.
Well, the revolution.
A worse way to, lose a football game or a basketball game or a baseball game. There's too many of those to think about. But
sure. I mean, know. Worse is subjective because you could say it was the loss to the Jets that where they did. Hang on, what happened? Where they the Castle year where they ended up not being able to go to the playoffs because of the how things went in the last game of the season. Was that against the Jets? I know the Jets ended up making. Oh, what the hell happened there? But they didn't make it.
No, Miami won the division that year.
Yeah.
Okay. That was the year that with the Wildcat.
I think it was the Jets and
oh,
Panthers.
Oh, the Wildcat game. Now, that might be one of the worst regular season losses, but I think Shaughnessy's right. Last night was worse.
Shaughnessy might be right. I think Shaughnessy's right on that. He was wrong on the tomato can thing, but I think he might be right about last night.
Yeah, last night was just...
Wait, so the argument is the AFC East doesn't suck?
Not that it doesn't suck. I'm saying the Patriots have. He's saying they benefit from the AFC East being so bad, but that's not the case. Their winning percentage is higher against other divisions out there too.
Oh.
When they play those teams, when they go to the West Coast is when you see the significant drop in the winning percentage.
Well, okay,
yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Troy Brown. It's always a pleasure. And these afternoon games have been fantastic.
Yes, sir.
Everyone gets to live a normal lifestyle.
I was thinking about, last week, what am I going to talk about when I come in here after the Miami game? What are we going to talk about?
We had plenty.
Yeah, you got a lot to talk about.
All right. So, Troy, on your way home, you might want to listen to this because I couldn't wait to hear it this morning. I came in early because I wanted to be able to hear in its entirety, like, the 3 to 4 minutes between the Patriots kicking the field goal, Scott Zolak feeling extremely happy about how life was going, getting ready for the Steelers, and then what happened. And it might be the best minutes of radio.
Yeah,
just the
I'm
most compelling radio.
It's like going to Steel City.
Oh, it is. I isolated that 4 minutes, and we're going to play it in its entirety, uninterrupted. When we get back, and it is
I got to check that out. So. I'm assuming Zoe's coming in. He's coming in with the dark sunglasses today.
He always does.
All right, Troy Brown, thank you so much for the time. No commercials.
Thanks, Troy.
Just the headlines.
No doubt.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.